Hello, I am Anne Mbogua with the Community Roundtable. I hope you enjoy this conversation, our lessons from the Community Manager Handbook Series.
So, Lisa, it's great to meet you. So I would like you to describe what you do at Easter Seals and the kind of community that you work with.
I've only been at Easter Seals for a little over a year. So I'm just sort of starting community here. My title is VP of Data and Information Management. So my responsibilities extend beyond community at Easter Seals, but I am getting started with community, just getting started with it. We have 68 affiliates across the country. So I'm at the national office. We provide support and services for affiliates across the country. And so they are my community members and customers are people, members of our staff of our 68 affiliates across the country. I personally facilitate or moderate three communities in the operations space. So, and then I have others in the organization with other subject matter expertise moderating a few other different types of communities related to some of the services that Easter Seals offers. Yeah, we're really just getting started. We've only launched a couple pilots last year, and in Q1 and March and April of this year, we'll be launching some additional communities.
Well, that's wonderful. I should say congratulations on that role. This leads to you sort of kind of briefly describing a specific experience with building a team, because I know that you're pretty knowledgeable in building a team. So if you could just, you know, talk about what are some of the challenges that you have faced building a team, some of the lessons that you have faced or are facing building a team. And this would really help those who are thinking about how they can build out their team.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm starting from scratch here, and I also started from scratch at my previous job. So I was at another nonprofit organization for about 10 years prior to coming to Easter Seals. At both of these positions, I'm starting as a team of one, and I was able to build at my last job a team at the end pre-COVID, you know, right before COVID. It was a team of seven, including myself, which I was able to build over time. So I think the biggest things for me about building a team is you need to, one, have a clearly defined strategy. And if you don't, because if you don't have a strategy, there's no reason to build a team to execute it, right?
Right.
So you need a clearly defined strategy that aligns with the organization's goals and provides value to the organization. You need to have a business, what I call a business case. Like, you need to prove, why do you need these people? Why do you need headcount? What are they going to do? And what metrics, any metrics that you can gather, have to prove that, you know, you need additional individuals. But I think, again, the proving value is probably the biggest lesson along the way. If you can't prove value, then you can't actually get the headcount, right? If you're not returning something of value to the organization, then they're going to say, why am I going to spend, you know, resources on you? So it's really that. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do in community from pure numbers, but I think there's lots of value that community managers can offer in other ways across an organization. So not only the community that they're building, but how to connect the dots across the organization in a number of different ways with the community and outside the community.
So I'm curious. So you built a team before in your prior role, and now you're also at a point where you're building out your team, right? So what are, you know, what are the challenges based on how you built your team before and now you're starting to sort of build your team out now?
I think challenges are getting started, right?
Yeah.
Often, and I don't know how other community, like, I've come into both organizations kind of starting from scratch.
Okay.
There really hasn't been a community prior in my previous role. The position I took had been vacant for 2 years.
Okay.
And the organization I'm with now, no one has really been doing this work, or they've had some failed attempts in the past that really has not turned out well, and really had not dedicated the time and energy to it, nor really had anyone with a lot of experience in community in the past sort of trying to bring this forward in the organization. So I think the challenge is determining where to get started, often having to do multiple things at once, get a technology platform launched, understand the organization, determine where you can find value, figure out who your allies are in the organization that is going to support this work. So coming to really understand the organization and being able to balance some of those priorities, whether it's the technology priority, determining where to provide value, creating a strategy. I think that balance always presents a bit of a challenge while you're trying to determine, okay, how do I prove value that I actually need more people?
Right.
So it is definitely, I think it's definitely a balancing act. Proving to leadership is also extremely important. At my prior job, my first boss was really supportive. Mm-hmm. And she also had quite a bit of influence in the organization, which has really helped me. I think depending on where you sit in the organization, your proximity to leadership, your exposure to leadership, how much influence you can have on leadership, that can also be a challenge that you're going to have to deal with. You need to, at the end of the day, leadership controls resources, right?
Right.
So you need to figure out how to get exposure and influence the leadership of your organization so they understand what community is, right? Because a lot of them don't. And then help them show them the value and how it connects to the organization's goals. So I think for me, it's when I've had good leadership in place, it's using that leadership to my advantage. And then with other members of leadership in the organization, helping them, educating them and helping them to understand how it can fit with their particular goals. So you can't just be general, like community is going to make us all better and revenue or create more engagement, right? It has to be really specific to what that leadership member cares about. And that takes some time to do, right? Getting to know leadership members, getting to know what they value, what's important to them, what their goals are. So building all those relationships does take some time, right? Take some time, take some effort. And we're also busy. It's hard to carve that out, but it's super important that we make building those relationships a priority so that we're seen in the organization. I think some community managers, you know, want to heads down, do their work.
Right.
But that's not always seen unless you're out there talking to others in the organization, particularly those in your senior leadership staff. So those are a few of the challenges that I can really try to focus on is strategy, proving value, and building relationships, particularly with leadership, but also across the organization.
I really like that thought process. You know, it is about proving value and being able to align, you know, leadership goals or business goals with what you are doing. I think that would definitely help with trying to get new members on your team.
Right.
So I am curious. So coming from, you know, your prior role to this role now and doing it over, what would you do differently now that you already had the experience of building a team? So here you are second time around building a team. What would you do differently?
One of the things is the focus on technology. So first of all, technology has evolved since I had to do this, I think, you know, 12 years ago now. Yes. When I was doing this at my prior job. So I think the good news is technology has evolved. It has become, you know, more user-friendly, more intuitive, which is a real positive. I think in my previous role, I spent a lot of time the first 2 to 3 years really just trying to fix technology issues and make it more user-friendly for people that need it to use the platform, rather than spending more time on things like engagement or you know, adoption and awareness. Not that I didn't work on those things, but the technology sort of kept getting in the way. So one of the things that I have done differently at this job is really a much, I made technology a less significant focus. I did some early discovery focus groups, and the big thing I heard loud and clear was, I don't want to learn another tool. And particularly in this time of COVID, when everyone is just so stressed with just waking up. up and dealing not only with work and family and what's going on in your home. Like I really took it to heart. Like people are just like, I am tired and I, please do not ask me to learn yet another tool. And so I wind up using Microsoft Teams. Okay. It was there. It was available. People had it in their organizations. Again, I'm dealing with affiliates. So their own separate organizations. They had it in their own organizations. I don't know that Teams was personally what I would choose, right? To build community, probably not. But I really took it to heart and said, you know what? I agree. Let's not bring in something new that is going to take time and effort to build and roll out. We've got Teams. Let's just use it. And then let's focus on the other things. Let's focus on adoption. Let's focus on engagement. Let's focus on awareness and make technology unimportant, you know, or as unimportant as possible in this. And so I think that's what I've done very differently this time around than I did last time around. Last time around was all about like, what, how can we get a great tool that everyone's gonna join and like, and you know, and I was like, okay, you know, we're who cares about the tech? Yeah. Let's worry a lot more about the people and process part of community.
Yeah. Cause I think there is that argument out there, and some community managers are really focused on, you know, having, I'm going to say, quote unquote, the perfect tool or platform to work with. You know, but sometimes that might not be the case. Do you think that it really depends on this kind of community that you have and the tools that are already there to use, because that was at your disposal, right?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think it comes into play. I mean, at the end of the day, there are so many tools that do very similar things, right? And so if you're going to pick a new tool or you're going to move to a new tool, I think you have to have, you know, you have to know a good reason for it. If you're bringing something new from outside into the organization. And there are certainly absolutely reasons to do that. But I think in the past, it was so much of a focus, and it has been for me about building the technology. And I think there are options. There are just so many options right now.
Right.
It's really about not having the very, you know, absolute right tool, but picking the mix of tools that people can easily come to and easily, you know, incorporate in their daily work life. And if they already have a tool that they're doing that with,
right,
then how can we actually leverage that, opposed to asking them to switch to something else? So it's, for me, over the last couple of years, that's definitely, I think, been a sort of turning point in the way I've thought about community. And because it's really about, we have now a digital workplace, right? Especially over the last few years where we've all gone remote, we have, many organizations have a number of tools at their disposal. And so how do we just leverage what we've got versus, you know, picking this right tool that does it all?
Yes, that's a good way of thinking about it. So I do have a question, and I'm thinking about What is your onboarding process for basically, you know, when you're thinking about building out your team and the kind of team that you'd like to have? So how do you onboard?
I think people need to get to know the organization. At the end of the day, community is about engagement with your community members, whoever they may be. That might be employees, that might be customers. And so how do you get them in front of the community, right? Whether that's internal meetings, if it's an internal community, that might be internal meetings, whether they actually have a direct tie to that or not. I think, you know, I have always encouraged my staff to sort of get involved across the organization in various different ways. And it doesn't have to be strictly about community, right? It could be in other, through other projects, whether that's, you know, just, you know, employee resource groups or whatever else it might be, or volunteering for another project. That helps them just to get to know and understand the organization. And so I think that is one thing that I focus on, is how do I get my team, particularly new people, in front of community members in some way, right? And, you know, in that first year, so they build relationships, so they get to know people, get involved with the organization, because it's all about relationships. So much of community is about relationships. So that's probably one of the number one things that I think about, is how to help them build relationships and encourage them to do that. The other things around onboarding is sort of just, you know, helping them figure out what their role is on the team and where they can offer the most value to the team. I think I've been strategic as I have built out teams about thinking, okay, what do we need? What gaps in our skill set are missing? What type of personality do we need to inject? You know, I've had very super detailed oriented staff members, and I'm like, okay, we need to balance that, right? We need someone that is, you know, more extroverted and outgoing, right? And so I think you need to understand the skills your team has, what gaps you have, but also what you need in terms of work style and personality, so that you build a really well-rounded team rather than hiring a whole bunch of people like yourself or all the same type of person. That's not really going to help your team. And so I've been cognizant of that over the years, about what type of people I've needed to add to my team, and how does that fit into what the organization needs as well.
So leading to what you're saying, because I'm thinking about it now, and you know, in the community management space, job descriptions are very nebulous. That's what I find, right? And even these titles that are there. So do you know, what is your process? Do you write these job descriptions because you know the kind of people that you want to have when you're building your team? Or how do you go about it so you have, I don't even want to use the word fit, right? Fit, but I want to say maybe having a team that is dynamic and that you would work really well with.
So first of all, I always start with my strategy. Where are we going? Okay. So I typically have a strategic plan for a community that's around 3 years long. So I kind of know, here's where we are and here's where we want to be.
Right.
Here's the team I've got. Do we have the right people to get us where we want to be, right? Do we have the right skills, et cetera? Or, you know, how do we build, right? Obviously, you may need to build. You can certainly build skills in the team that you've got. So those are the types of things I think about. But to me, it's all starts with strategy. I need to know where I'm going, first of all. Once you know where you're going, you can figure out, can I build it in the team I've got? Do we have the bandwidth, right, to do that? Do we need to then hire someone in? And that's where I always have a business case. That's where every year I would update a business case, and included in that business case was headcount. Here's here's what my current team is doing. Here's how much time and effort it's taking them to do that. Here's what's not getting done because we don't have the resources. And here's what we could be doing and what we will need to do to fulfill this strategic plan. And here's how that headcount fits into it and what we need in order to meet the strategic plan goals in the future. So I've always updated it at least once a year, ready for budget cycle. Right. And I've never been afraid at budget time to ask for what I've wanted and needed.
Right.
And I think that's the other thing. I knew some years I was never going to get it. Wasn't going to happen. I knew it wasn't a priority, but I still asked for it. Right. I still had the business case ready. I still asked for what I needed, just so leadership knew, hey, it's not that there's not a need here, you know, there's always a need here, right, and we're going to be made aware of it, even if there's no chance that it's actually going to happen in the next budget cycle. So strategy, the business case that fits that strategy. And then again, understanding who's on your current team. Can you build those skills? What gaps exist that you need to fill?
Mm-hmm. That's really good. So I'm thinking about the community manager who's a team of one right now, and they're thinking, yeah, I really need to add somebody else on my team. What would be a pro tip that you would give them, knowing that maybe, you know, leadership might not have those resources?
Sure. This is the borrow. This is where I borrow. it's because I've done a good job building relationships. There are usually, hopefully, other people in your organization who get what you do. They may be doing something else right now. They may be in a different department. They may be unhappy with their positions and looking for something else. And I've always, you know, reached out to those people and say, hey, can you do a project for me? Do you think your boss would allow you to do this project for me?
Right.
And so it's something that, you know, if they've expressed interest in, they're happy to do it. And as long as their boss says yes, then you've got yourself another resource. It may be time bound, it may be limited, but you've got yourself a resource to get something done. And so I have often borrowed people, whether it be for a short time period. And sometimes they have, eventually become part of my team. And, and that's the other thing too. Maybe it's not so much now, but through the last 15 years I've been doing this, almost 20 now, companies restructure, changes happen. One of the last people that I hired at my last job came from another department, and I actually didn't know her, but her boss, I knew her boss, and her boss said, I know you, I know Lisa, I know what Lisa does. I think you, and she's looking for someone. I think you might be a good fit for what Lisa's looking for. Right. So it's about having built those relationships up. People, again, understanding the value of what you've brought to the organization and saying, hey, I'm going to lose you. We're restructuring, but here's another spot that I think might be a fit for you. So again, relationships throughout the organization have been extremely helpful in getting the people that I've needed over time.
Fantastic. That's good advice, I think, for any community managers that is definitely out there thinking about it. So I want to thank you so much for your time. I just have one final question. How are we going to end? I would like to know what inspires you about your community.
Right now, because again, I'm starting from scratch, I think it's just what inspires me is getting people involved and connecting them to other people. Again, the current organization that I work with, there are 68 affiliates across the country. And what I found is they don't actually really know each other all that well. They haven't had the tools, they haven't had the leadership to get to really know each other. And so for me, it's about getting people connected to other people that can help them solve their problems. And now we have the vehicles within the organization to do that, not just through technology, but also through, you know, regular, you know, monthly meetings and things like that to get them connected to each other. And so I'm looking forward to seeing those connections build over time and really creating a network within Easter Seals so that people don't feel so isolated and they know that they can reach out to others to help them with their challenges.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lessons from the New Community Manager Handbook. If you'd like to download your own copy of the New Community Manager Handbook, visit www.communityroundtable.com.